everyone, welcome to Battles of Kingsgrave in a special reunion edition of our Lord of the Rings reread podcast. My name is Bina 007. I will be your host today, and I am joined by Adam.
Hey, this is Adam Drownsnow on the forums.
By Shellfish.
Hey, this is Peter. I'm known as Shellfish on the forums.
By Matt.
I was once known as Farley on the forums that no longer exist.
Hey, this is Shane. This is Texas Direwolf on the forums.
We're also joined by Paul.
Hey, Paul, Sir Dinneral on the forums.
And by Brett.
Hey, we're Raven on the forums.
And then, last but not least, by Mama Wolf herself, Nadia.
Hi, everyone. This is Nadia.
Oh, it's so nice to have some of you back again that I haven't spoken to for so long. Can anyone guess, did you cheat and look it up? When was the last time you put out a Lord of the Rings episode?
It was years ago.
Did we do a hobby reread?
Yeah, we did a
hobby. No, but just the Lord of the Rings actual episodes, when do you think they went out? What kind of Vokna episode number?
I remember Silmarillion was around 5 years ago. So Lord
was before
the
I had children.
It was under 200.
It must have been like a couple of years before that.
The Silmarillion started before I met my wife, so yeah, it was more than 5 years ago.
So yeah. It was back in 99 before Woodstock.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings was probably like a good 7-8 years ago, probably.
Yeah, I think it might have been 2013, probably, or 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shellfish for the win. The first episode was Vok 50, and it came out on Christmas Day in 2013.
Jesus
and Christ. And the last episode was Vok 102 and came out in 2014, so yeah, it's a long time ago.
I'm not even going to dignify how young I was.
So what brought us to recording today is that I think in these kind of weird-ass times that we're living through, a lot of people have been reaching for books or TV shows or films that are kind of like comfort reading, like nostalgic and safe in a way. And I was rereading Lord of the Rings. I know a lot of people on the forums have been. And Shane was reading them. And you posed a question that kicked off this entire reunion podcast, Shane. So do you want to give us the alt history theme for our discussion today?
Sure. The question I posted, I was reading and I realized, because we all have seen the movies 100 times and we probably haven't read the books as much as we should. And so rereading the books. But I realized that Faramir was supposed to be in the Fellowship and Boromir was not. Faramir had many dreams, basically telling him he needed to come to Rivendell or whatever. And Boromir did have one dream, but they stuffed
him out. Sure he did. Just older brother be like, yeah, I had one too.
Boromir ended up coming. But I realized when we were talking about Lord of the Rings before, I remember one of the discussion points was that Faramir was not tempted by the ring in the books. And I remember some people thought that was strange and didn't really like it. But it made a lot of sense when you think about the fact that Faramir was supposed to be part of the Fellowship. So I just thought, what if Faramir had actually joined the Fellowship instead of Boromir the way it was supposed to go? Everything worked out. But if everything went according to, quote-unquote, the plan, would it still have worked out?
Now, when you say the plan, do you mean that the visions were sent by a higher power to Boromir and Faramir?
Yes, sort of.
Eluvatar.
Yes, as Gandalf says, you know, sometimes some things were meant to happen, such as Bilbo finding the ring. Or maybe that he says that wasn't meant to happen. But I think there is sort of a guiding plan by the higher powers. That we as men and mortal beings can throw a monkey wrench into.
But we still have free will.
Or basically threw that monkey wrench in there.
Yeah. So that was my question. Any idea?
I have another question related to that. Why would Denethor let Boromir go? Because he was closer to Boromir, right? And he wanted him to be the clear leader. So why would he send him on this mission, which wasn't even clear to them at the time?
Jealousy of Gandalf, maybe? Like, he thought Faramir was already too much in, like,
the wizard's people.
To the wizard people, and he didn't want to let him go? Or maybe some shit he saw in the Palantir?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the Palantir. Yeah. He might have known sort of the purpose, and he might have had an idea that Faramir might not have done what he wanted, whereas Boromir would have.
I think Faramir says, like, it was the willfulness of Boromir that, like, won out over his father's objections.
Well, it is, like, a really kind of long road from Gondor to Rivendell, and it could just be the fact that maybe Boromir just didn't think Faramir would be up for it, being maybe a more protective older brother.
Mm. I don't think so.
I think he probably did have a dream, and just his stubbornness made him follow it, whereas Faramir was more willing to follow his father's wishes.
This is sort of where my knowledge of the films and the books kind of blend in together, because in the Two Towers extended edition scene with Denethor and Boromir, Denethor definitely like tells Boromir to claim the ring for Gondor, but I'm not sure if that is present in the books.
I don't think it is.
I don't think he knows what the ring is yet, because all they call it is Isildur's Bane. They didn't really know what it was.
Oh, that's a good point.
But they knew it was a weapon, and it was powerful.
They thought it was a powerful weapon.
I think they thought that it was a powerful weapon. That's all they got from the dream.
Elvish weapon. The master wants it for the war.
If he did a straightforward reversal, presumably Faramir doesn't try to take the ring off Frodo, so maybe the fellowship doesn't break off. And when you read the book, originally the idea is not that everyone's going to go to Mordor, but that they're going to go kind of towards Minas Tirith.
Aragorn head with Boromir to Minas Tirith once they reach a certain point.
Exactly. It was never this kind of concrete, everything is for Frodo and to get the ring to Mordor. Like, it was almost like, well, our paths
right.
are some ways together, so we'll accompany you. So let's assume they go to Minas Tirith. Does that mean that then Denethor is tempted by the ring, or does he just carry on, and then it's Boromir who's guarding the other side of the bank?
I think it's kind of more like the fellowship reaches like the borders of Gondor, and then the fellowship does have like they break up, not in like as tragic a way as they originally do, but like I definitely think like Aragorn goes with Boromir to aid the defenses of Gondor. I think maybe Gandalf would want to send some of the hobbits with him because he knows this is when things get tricky. And then I think Legolas and Gimli at least stay with the fellowship to go into Mordor, if only because Gimli is so damn stubborn when they first leave Rivendell.
So I think it goes a different direction. I think if Faramir's with them, Frodo doesn't try to run away because he doesn't have the epiphany that he needs to do it by himself. They all get overrun by orcs, and because there was like hundreds of them, I don't think they could have fought them off.
Yeah, especially without Boromir, who is like their best warrior, so I'm definitely with you on that. Yeah.
And if they get overrun by orcs, the ring starts to head back. They probably still get run over by the Rohirrim, but then the ring ends up in Rohan, where they're already in Saruman's pocket, so Saruman ends
up
with the ring.
Or Treebeard gets the ring.
It might just end up crushed there with the Rohirrim running him over, but
okay, so that
Saruman ending with the ring would be interesting.
I think Saruman would have ended up with it had Faramir gone with them, and the whole fellowship would have either perished or been broken up right there because they wouldn't have followed them.
So earlier than that, they have three choices, right? They can go through over the mountain, through Moria, or through the Gap of Rohan. Aragorn doesn't want to go through the Gap of, they don't want to go through the Gap of Rohan because they don't trust Boromir. Because Boromir's saying Gap of Rohan, but that takes them close to Minas Tirith.
They don't trust Saruman.
They don't trust Saruman. And they feel like he's controlling that Rohan gap.
But we do find out later that the Gap of Rohan at that point is still held by Prince Theodred, I think. It's only a little later that Mon takes the fords.
So actually they could have traversed it safely, but they just don't know it.
With like the one the son of the Mad King who's actually doing his fucking job.
So they still go through Moria, Gandalf still falls, you think?
Yeah. I don't know how that would
happen. Do you think there's any possibility that the hobbits leave with Faramir?
Leave where?
Leave with Gondor?
Like, instead of being overrun, maybe he realizes that he needs to get them to safety and, like, they leave.
He is more of a stealth guy.
The only reason why the orcs leave is because they get two hobbits.
Yeah.
And that's what they're there for.
But the hobbits do manage to escape on their own, right? So who's to say that even if Frodo had gotten captured, he wouldn't have escaped?
Well, they escaped because they're all here.
The difference is that Frodo, they do manage to escape on their own, but he thinks he needs to go alone. Because
of his experience with Boromir.
With Boromir, exactly. So if Faramir had said to them, like, come on, I'll help you, Frodo would, I think whoever had chosen to go with him to get away from the orcs, let's assume there's some kerfuffle, orcs get two hobbits, our two hobbits manage to escape. If Gimli or Legolas or Faramir or any of the kind of good guys who didn't have to go to Minas Tirith, which is... So then the interesting question is I think that Frodo would have accepted help. Like, he would have gotten that little boat across the river with other people. The question is Boromir had to go to Minas Tirith back to his dad. Would Faramir also have felt he had to go back to Gondor?
Yes,
Faramir presumably would have accepted Aragorn's kingship more than Boromir did, because Boromir kind of has a bit of resistance and jealousy. But Faramir, you get the impression, would have been, oh shit, right, we need to go back to Gondor. The king is back.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression you get.
But that was the plan anyway, right?
Or does Faramir, because he's in... If Gandalf has died and he thinks he's so close to Gandalf and he's so honourable, would he have thought, as much as I have a duty to my father, I have a greater duty to keep these hobbits safe as they go to Mordor?
Yeah, I think Faramir would stay with the hobbits.
His first duty is to Gondor. I mean, even if he had gone to Rivendell, that would have been for Gondor, right? So I'm assuming his loyalties would still be...
Yeah, but
his loyalty...
Does Faramir serve Gondor?
Yeah.
By going with Aragorn, and they got Aragorn, Denethor, Boromir, or staying and protecting Frodo in the ring?
I certainly think Boromir would definitely be the one to be, like, just looking just at Gondor. Faramir, I think, has enough of the kind of... You know how, like, they say...
Sees the bigger picture.
Yeah, Faramir and Denethor are more similar in how, like, they have, like, Numenorean mind powers or whatever. like, that he would, like, kind of agree with Aragorn that, like, okay, yeah, like, going to Gondor would kind of help the cause and everything, but, the like, Sauron's gonna keep coming back until we destroy this thing, so I do think he would go with Aragorn and the rest of the Fellowship to destroy the ring, if they're not killed by Uruk-hai.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I feel that's part of the essential character of Faramir, is his nobility and his ability to put the wider safety of mankind ahead of his duty to his dad and Gondor, ultimately.
But do you think that the ring would have tempted another member of the Fellowship? Because isn't it Galadriel that warns Frodo that the ring will start, you know, tempting them, and then it's confirmed by Boromir's actions, and that's why he's like, I gotta peace out alone?
Yeah, he's really the only one that ever gets tempted.
Eventually.
Yeah, and when they go to Galadriel, she sees that he is going to do this, right? I mean, she already sees it in his heart or whatever she does. Whatever mind powers she has, she...
Yeah, she tells
Because Boromir. I remember when she looks at Boromir, he kind of flinches away.
That's the movie.
Or something. That's the movie?
She does tempt every member of the Fellowship with leaving, though, when they first arrive.
I sort of feel like every member of the Fellowship would have gone for the ring eventually, and Sam's loyalty and love for Frodo is sort of the only things that's stopping it, that even Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli would have eventually succumbed to the temptation.
I agree, because they're not actually with Frodo in the ring for that long, are they? And I feel that even Faramir, I think, would eventually have fallen for it. Because after all, Frodo falls for it, right? At that final moment, that battle with Sméagol.
Gollum.
He does fall for it. He does take the ring.
Tolerance and proximity.
Yeah.
But let's explore, because I think it is really interesting. What would have happened if Saruman had the ring?
I think it would have been more of the same.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't he make his own ring of power in mockery of the One Ring?
Yeah, but it's like a store brand. the One Ring's like a Gucci brand, and Saruman's is like the one he bought at Walmart.
It's like Swarovski crystals.
Yeah, it's like fool's gold.
Well, it's also like the Elven Rings, I think, because Saruman was in contact with Sauron through the Palantiri, it was... under the One Ring, the one Saruman made, like the Elven Rings were.
So I thought he meant made it independently.
Yeah, I think Saruman made it independently, like, because, like, doesn't Gandalf talk about how he studied the old ring lore?
And, yeah.
He is a Maia of Aule, I believe, the same as Sauron, so he kind of has that knack for crafting.
Yeah, but the Saruman's ring, is depowered when the One Ring is destroyed, because he never uses it again after the One Ring is destroyed. Which
I thought he used it with his voice in the Shire.
Was he using the ring? I think that was just his inherent power.
I mean, I don't think we ever really even see him use his ring. I think it's mentioned once by Gandalf that he's wearing a ring when he first meets him.
I don't think we ever got an idea of what it does, even.
No.
It clearly breeds men and orcs.
It could just be a mood ring. We don't know.
Yeah, sort of a sign of vanity, or like that he aspires to be like Sauron, but it doesn't really have that much power in it.
He does say he's a ringmaker.
Even if Saruman does get the One Ring, it's still Sauron's ring, right? It still wants to get back to Sauron. So would it eventually betray Saruman also? Like, would it?
I think so.
Saruman was powerful enough to use it. I don't think he could ever destroy it, so he could never kill Sauron. But I don't think Sauron could have used it to betray him and kill him. I think Saruman was too powerful.
Well, isn't that the whole thing about the One Ring? Is that, like, yeah, you can use it to defeat Sauron, but he'll still be, like, a part of you then?
Like, yeah, he'll become part of you.
Yeah.
You slowly get corrupted into becoming Sauron.
Or something like him.
Sons of bitches.
So I imagine just a big old, like, Tolkien's nightmare of just machines everywhere. The British
country. The Industrial Revolution,
yeah.
Right?
So, Tolkien's nightmare is the Industrial Revolution arrives in Middle-earth.
I mean, it's the Scarab Desire made large, right? I mean, we know what happens when Saruman's vengeful and on the go, because we see it often.
Yeah, I think...
And the rusty metal everywhere.
You kind of see it... as kind of like a weird distortion of him again being a mire of Aule, because he loves crafting and he loves creating like machines, and I think that just kind of gets away from him then, where he just kind of looks at the rest of Middle Earth as this resource could be used for this, and we will use this resource.
But you know what's fucked up is like he idolizes this like pastoral existence, but Bilbo doesn't actually do any work. Frodo doesn't actually do any work. He has, like, gardeners tending his own garden. Like,
yeah.
That's what landed aristocrats do, right?
The gentry.
He did work once, so he never had to work again.
Yeah.
It's very much part of my rural existence. Oh, dear. What would have happened if, for some whatever reason, they'd gotten to Minas Tirith and somehow Denethor gets the ring?
I don't think it does that much.
I think Gandalf says that, like, even if you put it in the deepest, like, cellar of Minas Tirith, it would just sit there eating away at your mind or something like that.
Yeah, but Denethor wouldn't even do that. I think Denethor would have claimed it. I don't know.
He would have tried to use it.
I don't know what it really does for you, though.
I think it would have probably given him, like, a lot of power and influence. Helped him inspire all the Gondorians and become like a very powerful tyrant, and might have actually helped him with his war against Mordor for a while, but then at some point I think the ring would have subtly sort of influenced him into making a mistake that would have doomed him, like it did with Isildur.
He'd be like a child with a nuclear bomb or something. He'd be like, I know this is powerful, but he'd have no idea how to use it. Other than to make people go, look, I got this powerful thing. Like, I think that's what happened. It would just be more of a symbol.
Denethor was wise. I mean, he knew how to use the Palantir. He was basically corrupted.
I mean, I didn't really see what power it would give, like, a descendant of Numenor.
Yeah, that's true.
But you kind of, I mean, Isildur had it. It didn't do much for him.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like... He gets destroyed by a band of orcs, basically. So I personally think, like, Denethor would have it. Whether or not he, like, has it on him or just locks it away in a vault in Minas Tirith is kind of inconsequential, because at this point, I feel like Sauron's already amassed enough power that he just brings the hammer down on Minas Tirith and then he gets his ring at the same time.
Men were going to fail.
Yeah, he just hops over and takes it.
If we hadn't destroyed the ring, I feel like Sauron was going to roll over men. At least Minas Tirith, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing in, like, Return of the King is, like, Denethor is like, there will be a great darkness coming to Minas Tirith, and Pippin's like, not the Dark Lord, and he's like, no, he's gonna be, like, the last one to come over to gloat over my body.
Okay, so we basically come to the conclusion it doesn't make much difference whether Faramir is there instead of Boromir.
Well, to me it does, because Saruman gets the ring in my version.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it was sort of like necessary for Boromir to fail and break there, and that sort of like set the things in motion in the right way, I suppose. But then again, this is the only way that it went down, so it had to go down this way. So it's kind of a foregone conclusion there.
Yeah, and it's a lesson that teaches them, like, anyone who thinks that maybe they could use the ring, like, no, you can't. And, like, you know, Frodo knows, like, he has to finish the quest.
And he has to separate from the Fellowship. I don't know if the Fellowship could have got as deep into Mordor as they did by themselves,
yeah,
with Gollum's help. And I don't think the Fellowship would have helped, would have let Gollum help them.
I don't think they would have.
Oh, for sure, no.
If Gandalf was Gandalf was relatively
sympathetic, but Gandalf was dead at the time of the splitting of the Fellowship.
Was he?
Sorry, getting a makeover.
But would Faramir have been as good a guide to Mordor as Gollum was? He seemed to know his way around the place.
He's never.
I think he could have got him to the door.
I thought Faramir knew a lot about it, though, because he'd been policing that side of the river. So
Ithilien.
I think he knows Ithilien, though. I don't think he knows, like.
He does know about Cirith Ungol and Shelob as well. He knows about those.
Well, it's called the Pass of the Spider, so I'd hope they'd assume something was
up. I feel Faramir would know it. I mean, he's been tracking and hunting in that. I mean, he knew about Gollum, too, so...
But not in Mordor. Like, I think he could get him to the door, but I don't know if he'd be able to navigate them through.
Yeah, I think
although Gollum kind of just left him for dead.
His knowledge would end at, like, Minas Morgul.
Yeah, but they didn't... I mean, once you're in, right? Because you just go towards the Eye. And that wasn't helped by Gollum. That was just them trying to get there with their own wits.
Well,
yeah,
they
it's
kind
a pretty big landmark, Mount Doom.
Well, he Samwise followed the orcs that picked up Frodo. Otherwise, he would have been lost in the caves of Shelob. Because they had, like, a secret trap door that they went through that he couldn't find.
Like, the actual pass of Cirith Ungol is, like, sealed with a gate at the other end, and Sam's only able to get around it by just kind of going around in Shelob's tunnels.
The ring helps him out.
Yeah,
it's weird that he wears the ring right there, and they never catch him.
Hmm. Any more on the Faramir question, or should we transition to another of the alt history questions you all posted?
Did we actually get an answer for Faramir?
Well, we're not going to have an answer.
Well, I think there's an answer, talking about alt histories in the fantasy world, of which we know... The problem is every time you try to create an alternative, because you know which way it ends, your mind always tries to kind of get you there, but...
Mine didn't.
Well, yours didn't. Anyway, a question from White Raven, seeing as he has a lot to say. If the ring had not been found, would Sauron have conquered men and taken Middle-earth?
It looks like he was on that track, huh?
Yeah. He was doing a pretty good, pretty bang-up job.
Yeah, okay.
Now, if they had never found the ring, would there ever have been a council in Rivendell?
Why would there need to be?
Exactly, what would be the point?
I don't know, but if no... Like, I wonder if something spurred Sauron to moving forward, or if he was already pretty much getting ready to attack.
Well, he caught Gollum. He found out that the ring existed still and where it was.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the impetus of his, you know, that's his action point.
So,
you know?
So
that's why I set the Nazgul out.
Well, the question is, at what point, why is the ring not found? So is there a Gollum? Are we talking about because Deagle didn't find the ring?
Right, it's
still at the bottom of the river?
It did get swept out into the ocean, so nobody ever finds it.
Okay, so Sauron...
In this time.
Right.
Well, I think there might have been something like a Council of Elrond, because the White Council was meeting, and they did deal with the Necromancer at the time of The Hobbit, and they, if you look at the appendices, like, Mirkwood and Lothlórien are at war with Sauron at the time of the... and the Lonely Mountain at the time of the Return of the King, so... Sort of, he was attacking those peoples, and they probably would have tried to band together and sort of make some sort of alliance, but it would have been futile in the end.
Yeah, the only reason why the elves leave is because the ring is destroyed, and then everything they've created with their rings is going to pass, so they just all head out because their powers are kind of waning.
If the ring is never found, would Saruman have turned traitor?
Well, I think he was also seduced by the Palantir, right?
Yeah, he was. He was definitely poisoned. I just don't know if... It's not like the ring helped him create what he had created. I mean, he still made Uruk-hai.
Yeah, but he...
Yeah, he probably didn't start making them just, like, after the ring was found, right? He was probably doing that before the ring had been found. So... Yeah.
He was headed down the dark path.
Exactly.
Early on.
Even before... all this happened.
I believe his whole thing was about fighting Sauron with his own weapons, so I think he would have tried to set himself up as, like, a counter
those
to
just
Sauron.
Excuses.
But I don't know.
Don't just make Uruk-hai, like, they're monsters.
I mean, you
it's
are...
It's a firm decision.
You are if you want your own personal army.
Which I think that's what he's trying to sell to Gandalf, right? Like, it's our world to reshape as, like, only the wise can see fit. And, you know, he goes Uruk-hai route instead of Gandalf's hobbit route.
Mm. Hi, everyone. I have a question.
Amber!
Hello, good morning. So if no one, including Sauron, had ever gotten the ring, would he have still been able to do 100% of whatever his evil plan was, or did he need that for in his possession for some sort of final?
Well, he never got it.
Man, it's a what if. It's a what if show.
Right, yeah, but he never got it.
Isn't the ring basically like? The ring is basically like the original Horcrux, right?
It is a really good question, right?
Didn't he make it?
Yes.
So he had it at one point to do, I know, to lord over everybody else, but I mean, wouldn't he have been happier having it the whole time?
I don't think he ever wanted to lose it.
Is it just like a Horcrux? Like, basically, as long as the ring survives, Sauron can't die? Or does it actually have...
That was always my impression.
Does he actually use it to wield some kind of power that he can only focus through the ring? Is it also like a wand, or is it just a Horcrux?
I think it's both.
Okay. Yeah, because as time goes on, if you can't kill him, he just keeps coming back to power, and eventually he wins.
Yeah, I think he also kind of, like, siphons off power from the other ring bearers, because he made that sort of deception there. Like, he tricked the other peoples into wearing his rings, and, like, is kind of siphoning off their mojo or whatever. So it gives him extra power, but he's also poured a lot of himself into it. And without it, he probably wouldn't be able to sort of take physical form.
That's what I was thinking, that he was trying to become, like, his best version of himself, right? Get a physical form, alter his power.
He still has, like, a visible form in the books, but it's, like, all twisted and, like, a shade. I think this one would, like...
And it's a giant eye!
Give him his cool armor. No, he's not a fucking giant eye.
Physical form. It's a sort of mist and shadow and dust or something like that. Like when he dies, he's out of
the palace.
It's kind of like a big shadow that reaches out, but it's kind of ethereal in a way.
But he's kind of like the Ringwraiths, right? Like, they can put on clothes and everything, but they're kind of like in the shade world. Like, they exist in both worlds at once, but they don't really have physical characteristics here.
Yeah, I think they say the cloaks give form to their nothingness or something.
Right, like that.
Like things that shouldn't be sort of caught between the two worlds.
Right.
Then how do you kill them if they don't have a physical form?
You
how
don't
do
kill,
you
them.
Kill them.
A woman does.
Like, but Eowyn does kill one.
I think she disperses him, but I don't think she kills him.
Doesn't she?
I don't know.
Didn't he, like... Wasn't there, like, a scream and whatnot? I don't know if that is just a movie. But she does kill him, right?
Because that he could come back in his death scene. I think it was something like...
The whole prophecy is that no man can kill him. And Eowyn says, I am no man. So it implies that she does manage to kill him, right?
But they're already dead, aren't they?
I don't think they're dead. Like...
The number one Google search for Does the Witch King is, does the Witch King actually die?
All right, so I'm on Tolkien Gateway. Here it is.
When the ring gets destroyed, he dies. Just like everyone else who had a ring, basically, except for the elves, because they were never touched.
So Mary stabbed him in the sinew of his leg, it says, with the blade of Westerness.
Yep.
Yeah. As he drew back to kill the woman, which gave Eowyn the ability to drive her sword through his invisible head. The sword broke as his crown toppled. The Witch King gave a great horrible wail, perishing at last.
So
he does die, and it's not even an Elvish blade or anything. It's just Eowyn's sword, which I'm assuming was made in Rohan, right? So you don't even need a special sword. You just need to be a man to kill one.
That's right. A hobbit and a woman killed him.
Well, the hobbit blade was made by like the Numenorians, and
but that's
that was the reason why it could hurt him.
Yeah, it was made.
That was the reason why it could hurt him.
Yeah,
I think it was sort of it had runes and spells on it that were kind of meant for the Witch King's bane, because the Arnorians had waged war with the Witch King for ages, and they got
came from the
barrows.
When like when they're under attack at Weathertop, and Frodo slashes at him with the sword while yelling Elbreth, doesn't like Aragorn say, "Oh yeah, the crying out of Elbreth probably did more damage to him than your blade did." Or is it because Frodo's such just a shitty swordsman that he hit him with like the blunt
end? He probably closed
end.
His eyes.
I mean, Sting's only supposed to be like a dagger leg threat.
Yeah, he didn't have Sting yet.
He didn't have Sting yet, yeah.
Well, that's right.
They might have been Elvish blades, though. Or were they? They were from
the
Barrow Downs. So yeah. It's the same blade that Merry has when he kills... Well, he doesn't kill the Witch King, but helps kill the Witch King.
He just loosened the top.
So if they can be killed with just any sword, why have none of them been killed yet?
Okay, well... Like,
in all the centuries that they've lived.
I think the Witch King can only be killed because, like, there's a fancy prophecy that he can be killed. Like,
yeah, exactly. Leave the Witch King aside. There are eight others.
Yeah,
why
the
are
others,
none of
they
them
sort of,
killed?
Well, the others...
Didn't they...
If you don't even need, like, a magic blade or anything.
Didn't but, they sort of die when Elrond washed them, like, down the river in the Forge of Brunnen?
But then they go back to Sauron, who's like...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, here's new forms, and here's new weird flying creatures.
Barad-dûr is their rebirth point.
Yeah,
they respawn.
Yeah, they sort of coalesce back into their forms, I suppose.
So is that what Sauron does? Like, they die and he brings them back? Only with the Witch King, there's no time to bring him back because Sauron also gets destroyed.
Yeah, because I think their spirits are tied to him because they held the rings for so
okay,
long.
Okay, that makes more sense than, you know, they've never been killed before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think as long as the ring survives, they can survive.
So the ring is a horcrux for them also.
for him, it was a nose ring, and they stabbed it, and it broke his ring. That's why the Witch King dies. That's why they called him the Witch King, because he had all sorts of piercings. He looked funny.
I've got a question. What if Rohan, what if Théoden King just says, you know what, nah, you asked for our help, Gondor, but fuck it. Just got my kingdom back, gonna sit this one out.
Well, much like in the movies, I'd be like, why the fuck is he saying that? Like,
yeah.
In the books, it doesn't make sense. Like, in the books, like, Théoden was, like, his dad was, like, spent most of his life in Gondor. Like, Thangil was, like, a...
Fighting with Aragorn.
Well, yeah. To be fair, even in the movie, it's only, like, one line. He's like, why should we help him? Oh, we're gonna help him, but why should we?
Yeah.
For
the movie version, it's
to
more
go...
dramatic. Better arc.
But that would be...
Writers
that
of Rohan
would be stupid, right? If they don't go and they don't make this last stand with the Gondorians, then once they're destroyed, Rohan is next. Like, Rohan is Gondor's neighbor, right? So once Gondor gets overrun, they would be next. So wouldn't it be better to make, like, one last big stand together instead of fighting separately?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it would make no sense for them not to go.
Maybe they think they will become a vassal state and negotiate a peace.
They're already like a vassal state.
Yeah, they're already kind of a vassal state
exactly,
to Gondor.
Of Gondor.
They could be like, okay, we'll give you horses now. We'll give you horses. Just leave
us
alone.
Okay, so if that happens, Saruman basically becomes a lieutenant for a while anyway, right? Before he becomes too powerful. But during that time, Rohan would become basically like a vassal state of Isengard.
Possibly.
Are we dictating that Théoden won't help Gondor? Is he still under the sway of Saruman, or is he in his right mind?
Because when this happens, Saruman's been taken care of.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, it wasn't the original question that if Rohan didn't answer the call or didn't aid Gondor.
Well, I just don't think
Aragorn
would
still would have come up from the sea and swept the army out of the way, and just Rohan wouldn't have helped.
Well, again, this is the book, so
but then,
convenient.
Aragorn
but then after,
is still limited in what he can do.
He does have the army of the dead, though.
No, he doesn't.
No, the army of the dead in the books, like, after they take Pelargir, the armies of the dead's like, deuces, you can have the remainder of the Gondorian forces you need. But even then, like, the only reason, like, Mordor has broken through the main gates of Minas Tirith when the Rohirrim arrive, and Aragorn's still a few hours away. So they would have been able to...
Well, they meet in the middle.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have had the mandate. I think Minas Tirith would have fallen without the Rohirrim.
Yeah.
even with Aragorn.
Needed to forestall the orcs from like running right into the city.
And Theoden dealt with the Haradrim as well. I think that was kind of a big deal as well.
And they killed the Witch King.
Yeah, exactly. The Witch King would still have been alive. So,
do you think Gandalf could have handled him? Because he kind of got pulled away because of the Denethor thing. Because he was about to head out to handle the Witch King.
Yeah. Technically, he's not a man, so I'm assuming he could kill.
Well, I think they were sort of evenly matched at the gates. That was the impression I got.
Yeah,
and then the Horns of Rohan call, and that kind of drew the Witch King's attention away, and then Gandalf had to deal with Denethor. And that was that.
Theoden died because of Denethor.
Sure did. Denethor, that little bitch.
Any other alt histories?
Okay, how about this? If Sauron wins, do you think the Valar will just leave Middle-earth to be hell on earth, or are they just going to send a tidal wave again like they did on Numenor, or just wipe it all clean, or just leave it alone and let everybody live hell on earth?
Well, it wasn't the Valar that sent the tidal wave, it was Iluvatar himself.
Okay, Iluvatar then.
He constructed all this so that wouldn't have to happen, so...
Yeah, like, Iluvatar's intervention is Bilbo finding the ring, everything happening is Iluvatar.
Making sure Boromir goes instead of Faramir, because Faramir gone, obviously.
So no matter what happens, Iluvatar's going to step in and make sure that Sauron doesn't win?
Yeah, it's in the music.
Okay.
Everything Morgoth had devised.
Why hasn't that happened? Like, Sauron has tried to take over so many times, so why hasn't there been a stronger step taken by the Valar or by Iluvatar to stop him before?
Well, I mean, he broke Numenor, so that was a big move.
Yeah, the Valar
but
don't like to get involved, because when they get involved, it's like cataclysmic to the area.
Yeah, and they've been kind of notorious in poor decisions.
So can't they just go to Barad-dûr directly, like just destroy that part cataclysmically
whatever? Valinor is completely separated from Middle-earth, so I don't even know how much power they have now in the domain. Like, I think they can watch over and they can send like help like they do with the wizards, but I don't think they can really leave Valinor at this point personally.
Or even want to.
Maybe Olmo does, but he just kind of hangs out at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, they sort of also send kind of divine inspiration and sort of like invisible help as well. I think it's implied that the Aragorn ships are kind of pushed forward by sort of magical wind as well.
And Elbereth definitely helps, like with Frodo Sam, and she breaks the Watchers.
Yes.
Yeah, and even sort of little things like showing Sam the star and sort of urging him to go on and giving him hope. I think that's also kind of a divine intervention there.
And for all we know, Manway actually sends the eagles. He's like, no, you go do your job.
Yeah. He's like, where the fuck you been? I called you months ago.
Yeah, but I think that what Peter said about the wind coming from the west is like to speed along Aragorn's ships was the divine wind.
So it would have come even harder if the Rohirrim had made a different choice, maybe.
And I think it's also implied that Orome sort of possesses Theoden at the Battle of the Pelennor Fields, kind of gives him special strength, I suppose, and courage.
But does he do anything? Like, Theoden doesn't do anything, he just goes there and dies.
He fucking breaks the Haradrim. Yeah, he breaks the siege, he defeats the Haradrim, he's like, he saves the day.
Yeah, he kills the Chief of Khand, I think, or something.
Oh, yeah.
Shelfish, he's your favorite character in Lord of the Rings.
Currently, I've been leaning to Boromir, but I do like Theoden as well.
Yeah, I was sensing with Theoden.
The defensiveness.
Don't fucking talk shit about my dad.
Could Treebeard have done other than he did?
I don't think he'd want to. I don't think he cares.
Yeah,
he had like a vendetta against Isengard all of a sudden.
I mean, Treebeard did enough. Like, he destroyed Isengard. That's huge.
I always find it a bit skeptical. I'm always a bit skeptical that Treebeard did anything. I just feel that the trees would have been, or the Ents would have been a bit above it all. Time for humans of any kind. There are slightly worse ones and slightly better ones. They all just respect the forest and they're all terrible.
Yeah, by the time they decided to act, it would have been over.
But so he still would have acted against Isengard for making direct, you know, threats to the trees, right? Because they're tree herders and they're wiping out all the trees.
Yeah, but it takes them a lot
they lose a lot of herd before they do any action.
Yeah.
And it didn't even sound like they were going to get any action done until they heard, like, the whole story.
Yeah, so if Pippin and Merry hadn't gone with the Fellowship, would Treebeard have actually done anything? Because he hadn't done anything. And, you know, Saruman had been threatening him for a while.
Doesn't Quickbeam already report, like, that the trees by Isengard are being culled?
He already knows, yeah. It's not like in the movie where he's like, oh my god, what the fuck happened? I guess I hadn't been watching this part of the forest for like 50 years. Idiot.
Yeah, like,
yeah, they already knew.
They have the Ent Quickbeam, who's like, yeah, all my fucking friends are dead because I live right next to Isengard.
All my friends are dead.
I think Merry and Pippin just helped their decision to come around faster. Like, they were already discussing it, like, what to do about all the trees burning, right? But I think Merry and Pippin were just the catalyst for it to go just a little bit faster, for Treebeard to actually get to Isengard in time to actually do something.
Yeah, it might have, like, they might have stayed passive without Merry and Pippin and acted when it was too late.
Yeah, exactly.
My interpretation.
Because they like, got Treebeard over the top in the thought that he needs to do something, so he called the council and convinced all the other ones they need to help.
Yeah. But don't you think Gandalf told Treebeard, too, what was going on?
Probably. I mean, he did talk to him.
That makes me not like Treebeard as much, because he just kind of sat on all that knowledge and didn't do shit about it.
Well, no, they just do stuff at their own pace.
Well, yeah, exactly. Very slow. And Gandalf probably didn't have too much time to talk with him, because he's like, I need to be mysterious when I greet Aragorn, Gimli, and Legolas again.
Yeah, Gandalf isn't exactly clear with this instruction.
He's a drama queen.
Gandalf was too busy, like, behind a tree chuckling to himself.
And I kind of feel like the Ents aren't really, like, what we would call rational human beings. Like, they're sort of supposed to be part of nature and just kind of an unknowable intelligence, or at least a different kind of sort of sapience, I suppose, than just the men and elves and dwarves and all that.
Well, they're created by who, Yavanna or Lorien, to defend the forests against the beings of men that will need wood to construct.
They will need wood.
Yeah. Dwarves going to need wood.
Oh, we found the level.
Related question to that, like, when do you think that the sort of industrialization of Isengard began, or when did he start breeding the orcs? Because in the movie, it's sort of almost implied that it happens in the same year as the Fellowship sets off.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to tell, because it's not like Gandalf never goes there, and then, like, all of a sudden all this has gone down and he never noticed.
I think, like, a lot of it was happening, like, in the caverns of Isengard that weren't, like, opened up to the surface yet. I think Saruman was doing a lot of it, like, underground and keeping it all kind of hush-hush until he kind of had everyone swayed, because not only did he have to trick Gandalf, he had to trick Radagast as well. But then,
but
again,
you think
I
when they showed up and they're like, huh, this used to be forest, I wonder what the fuck happened here.
Do we know how long Rohan had been under his spell before the Fellowship begins?
I think Wormtongue had been there for a while. Like, he was a rider of Rohan. It wasn't like he came from somewhere, right? He was a rider of Rohan. So it was just Saruman managed to influence him and then spied on Theoden through Wormtongue, right? So he'd been around for years, so nobody knows exactly when he...
How the fuck do you trust a guy named Wormtongue?
Yeah, why was his name Wormtongue at all? I'm assuming it wasn't his name. It was
like Littlefinger or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a nickname.
I mean, it's not his actual name, right?
Yeah.
But everybody calls him that.
Well, now.
Oh, yeah, everyone fucking hates him at that point when we finally meet him.
But, like,
they didn't call him anything other than that?
I think he called him Grima.
Yeah, he called him Grima.
Grima, that's right.
Which isn't exactly a name that inspires confidence either, but...
Apparently, in Old English and Icelandic, it means mask, visor, helmet, or specter. So that kind of means quite different things there.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be evocative, grimy, and just fucking nasty. Like, sometimes I think we should just look at the story as a story and not as a just like the deep lore, and like Grima Wormtongue just sounds so fucking nasty that it's evocative, worse.
My view had always been that Saruman had been, I always felt in my head that when the ring passed from, like, because Gollum had the ring for ages, just living in caves and being pretty anonymous, and that somehow the ring going to Bilbo, who's more active in the world, although he didn't do anything with it, maybe triggered something. And it always felt, and I know that he had it for sort of decades, but it always felt to me like that's when Sauron probably started bestirring himself. And that's when Saruman probably thought, okay, let me start infiltrating Rohan and building up an army that maybe not from the start, but had of it. But it feels to me like this was decades in the making before the Fellowship.
Bilbo doesn't really do anything with the ring either, right? He doesn't really use it. Except
he does, to avoid it, relatives, as anyone
should. Right?
He's using it in the way that we all would use it, right? In petty ways against annoying members of our families. But
yeah, exactly.
The fact that it's being used and it's out of case, that must be, like, Sauron must have felt that this was a movement. And we always know that the ring wants to get back to Sauron. So it just felt to me that might have created a bestirring in Sauron's loins.
So, yeah, do you think he can feel when it's in use?
I think so, right? I mean, it's part of him. Like, don't you think he would know, like, he'd be aware viscerally that it had gone from Gollum to Bilbo?
I don't think he necessarily knows who has it, but he might know when it's,
that it's exchanged. But yeah, that somehow this thing that had been lost from his sight for a long time somehow was in the open. Because that's what it means to be with Bilbo, that it's just out in the open now.
Right, it's not, like, buried under a mountain.
Yeah, so you can send out your riders and try and get hold of it. I mean, obviously, he doesn't know where it is. He doesn't know it's in the Shire until
he doesn't
tortures
send
Gollum.
It for, like, decades. Like, Bilbo has it for decades, right? So why doesn't Sauron
send
anyone to...
Because he hasn't recaptured Gollum and tortured him to hear the words that it's in the Shire.
Oh, yeah.
Right, there's no GPS on it.
But I suspect that, you know, he has to have known it was out there in order to try and catch Gollum and torture him and get that information. So it feels to me like this is a decades-long build-up, but I might be overdoing it. But it's certainly years.
Okay.
It's not months or days like in the movies. Oh, let's make the model army.
Hold on. Okay, in the appendices, 2942 is when Bilbo gets the ring. 3 years before that, Saruman learns that Sauron is looking for the ring near the Anduin. 10 years after Bilbo returns with the ring to the Shire is when they have the last White Council. And that's when Saruman goes, claims Isengard, and basically starts setting up his own attempt for power.
Huh, so Sauron's looking for it before Bilbo gets it.
Well, he learns that Sauron is, so yeah.
Yeah, it would make sense because, like,
Isn't that the Master's call?
Yeah, Dol Guldur is, like, really close to the Anduin where Isildur fell, so I'm assuming that's kind of something that inspired Sauron to start there.
Yeah, and if Sauron's looking for the ring, he's calling out to it, which caused it to slip off of Gollum's hand, and then Bilbo found it.
Right.
So do you think that the ring responded to Sauron actively looking for it by being tricksy and getting to Bilbo? That the ring was kind of active in this?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, the ring did Isildur dirty, too.
Gandalf warns
Frodo against, like always keep, like, that's why Frodo keeps it on the chain, because it would keep, like, finding its way out of his pockets or off his hand.
I don't know, obviously the ring didn't mean to be found by Bilbo. If it had any choice in who found it, it would have been like, yeah, orcs are definitely better for this. Because he was in, like,
know,
a cave
but,
full of orcs.
Yeah, and that's
wasn't it implied
that's
that the rings... sorry, go ahead.
That's probably what it was hoping for when it got off, like, Gollum, because it's in, like, not that far from a big goblin cave. It's only Iluvatar and, like, fate that allows Bilbo to find the ring as kind of
right.
a counter to Sauron.
Was the ring always going to be destroyed? Would Iluvatar have, and fate, quote-unquote, always have made it be destroyed?
Yep, it was in the music. It had to be destroyed.
That's your excuse for everything. Text is the music.
I mean, kind of, yeah, because we've already said, like, even if, like, Sauron doesn't get the ring, he still kind of amasses enough power to him to
at least do a lot of damage.
To, like, summon the armies of the south and east and...
Any other good alt history questions?
What if Saruman never went bad? How would he have helped?
I suppose the same way Gandalf helps, like, he just be there to help men along.
Gandalf is sort of a hope bringer, and kind of his powers and inspiration and guidance and wisdom, but Saruman might have like made war machines for the good guys, or
that's
just
right.
organization or something like that.
Yeah. They would have had catapults that would have reached them.
So, I had a question about what Sauron was doing in Dol Guldur or whatever. So we're saying that he was looking for the ring there, but then the White Council like drives him out, but somehow he gets stronger and goes to Barad-dûr and like.
Well, he doesn't get stronger then. I think he retreats because he's not ready to fight yet, and then he starts amassing power in the south.
But he like traded up by being defeated.
Well, I don't know if
not,
I call it.
He's not defeated
well,
at Dol Guldur.
It took him decades.
He just retreats.
Yeah, he like flees Dol Guldur before the White Council can destroy it, and even then, the White Council can't fully destroy it because the foundations are tied to him somehow. I don't know. Like everything Sauron makes is somehow tied to him.
It's all a big Horcrux.
It's all a big Horcrux.
And Battle of the Five Armies also kind of breaks the power of the evil forces in the region for a long time there as well. So. That's sort of like he had to go back to Mordor, like
yeah,
if the White Council hadn't driven him out of Dol Guldur, he might have started his conquest from Mirkwood.
Can I ask a question? Because I'm not, to all of you lore masters, because I haven't read that stuff, how did Saruman become bad? What caused him to turn?
Saruman
and
or Sauron?
Could it have been prevented? Saruman.
I think it was the Palantir that, that corrupted him,
I think he always had.
And what caused Sauron to go bad then?
He was seduced
by Melkor.
I think Saruman kind of had the underpinnings of going bad already inside him, though. Like,
I think it said even as a Valar, he was proud.
He's similar in spirit to Sauron because they're both Maiar of Aule and are interested in like crafting and creating. And, like, so many of, like, I believe, like, the Balrogs were also, like, Myers of Aule who fell.
Well, Aule
was close to going bad in himself.
Fire, yeah. Well, Aule
was almost...
Yeah, by making
like, his
the
creation
dwarves.
Of the dwarves, even, like, it was... He was pretty
but,
much...
But he's his thing was always, I create because I like creating, not because I want to hoard this thing.
He didn't create to have dominion over the dwarves. He created the dwarves so they could also make stuff, and he had pupils to teach, and...
Yeah.
And that's what Iluvatar was checking on when he told them, we'll kill them. Mm. And he's like, I don't want to, but I will. And he's like, okay, you don't have to.
Yeah, so...
No, it's because the poor dwarves cowered. And he's like, oh, look, you gave them, like, personalities, you son of a bitch. All right.
You named them. Damn it. So, like, Saruman and Sauron are both former Maiar of Aule. And so I believe they have that constant underpinning, that constant, like, temptation to kind of create stuff to grab more power, to become more than what they initially start out as. And, like, even at, like, I kind of get the feeling, like, even when he first arrived in Middle-earth, he was a cocky piece of shit.
Yeah.
He just strutting around.
He was
saying, I'm going to live here. Like, going up to Isengard and being like, I'm going to live here now. And Gondor's like, okay, fine. You can live there.
He, like, strong-armed his way into leading the council, too, because Galadriel wanted it to be Gandalf.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm better.
Like, only Gandalf is the only wizard who actually did his fucking job because.
Hey, Radagast did okay.
Radagast, like. All he did was send the eagles to Gandalf, and then they're like, we can't find him anymore.
No, he roused the eagles.
Fucked up to, like, live with animals
or
some shit.
Well, the blue wizards were, we assume they were doing their job.
We don't know what the blue wizards were
Tolkien,
doing.
Tolkien, like, in his writings, his first writings are like, they got corrupted and became evil and ended up not fulfilling their task. But then later he's like, well, maybe they could have been distracting Sauron's forces in the east. It's all, like, JR, like, navel-gazing when we ask him about this stuff.
Wasn't the mouth of Sauron a former wizard?
No.
He was a Numenorean.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got some of those in Umbar as well. So they're just fallen Numenoreans.
But Gandalf wouldn't have been rescued from the top of Isengard if it hadn't been for Radagast.
That's right.
The one thing he did.
He might have sent the eagles too. We don't know.
Well, he did. He only sent Why did Squai
it so
here,
long?
But that's it.
But we know he was most definitely covered in bird shit.
I hate
the movies really fucked him over.
Yeah, The Hobbit was terrible.
The less
you didn't like his rabbit sled?
I thought it was interesting that they were like, when they were doing the Lord of the Rings movies, they decided Tom Bombadil was a no-go, but then they threw Radagast into the Hobbit movies.
Yeah. Right, they're like, Tom Bombadil is way too silly to be in this movie. Let's do Radagast.
And he was like, you know what people really liked is when I made things grotesque and put poop on them. Uh-huh. Okay, Peter.
Doesn't he do, like, psilocybin, too, in the movie? Like, doesn't he eat mushrooms or smoke them or something?
I think he smokes something.
Gandalf gives him some pipe weed to calm him down, which I think implies that, yeah, it's not just tobacco.
Some OG Kush.
Unrelated to that, in the movie, the Disney movie, The Good Dinosaur, the little
boy eats mushrooms. But, you know, I've blocked out most of those movies.
Well, the little boy eats, like, mushrooms, and he starts tripping, and, like, the dinosaur gets more eyes, and then he, like, grows dinosaur legs. It's really weird. That movie's weird.
Wow, that was really unrelated. Jesus Christ.
You guys are just...
I felt I was tripping on mushrooms for a second there.
I think I heard someone say that Radagast abandoned men, but I'm not sure if... Wasn't it sort of, like, part of his purpose to be, like, the friend of fur and feather...
Yeah, like, he was his the animal
sphere of influence.
I guess, but you don't really see an army of squirrels meeting the men of the West at the
The Black eagle Day, showed they? Up.
Yeah, the eagle showed up, but that's clearly Manway's thing, all right?
And doesn't he use the birds and such as messengers as well, so he could have been sort of helping out in smaller ways as well?
Maybe.
Yeah, but it kind of backfires because he teaches that skill to Saruman as well, and Saruman's able to send those crows to kind of tail the Fellowship.
That is true. He's not a bad guy. He's just super gullible.
Does anybody think that the Amazon Lord of the Rings thing that I assume will happen eventually, do you think it's necessary?
Oh, none of it's necessary.
Nope. No,
is something that we need?
Of course not. Am I super excited?
No.
I'm eager to see the Fall of Numenor. I kind of want to see what they're going to do with it.
So with the canon in Tolkien, I do feel like the books are like the ultimate form, obviously, but there are some things in the movies that are done better for pacing and sort of story arcs in my mind, and I love some of the dialogue as well that's not in the book, so it's a bit of a mixture of the two for me.
Mm. Yeah, I really like when the elves show up at Helm's Deep.
Yeah, sure, that's
She didn't like that. Like, I like it. I liked it the first time, but then after you read the books, you realize they were taking too much power away from, you know, from the Rohirrim and giving it to.
Well, in the movies, there was only 18 Rohirrim, so.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas in the books, like, they fought and won by themselves.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's, you know, you take all the
not by themselves. The tree took the trees got quite a few of them,
and they kind of showed up a little late to the scene.
They showed up like very late. Right?
They are trees; they don't get good mileage.
If the trees hadn't shown up, the eagles would have come, right?
They showed
up. So maybe let's go around the table and each say your favorite addition that the films make, and the least favorite, like the thing that you were irritated most with. So Shellfish, do you want to go first? Like, what's the thing that you really, the one thing that the films added that you really love?
I like the expanded relationship between Boromir and Aragorn in the Fellowship. There's a lot of good added dialogue in there about Boromir's sort of despair over the state of Gondor and his struggling with hope, and Aragorn kind of helping him with that.
Mm. And what's the thing that irritates you?
Probably the elves at Helm's Deep, or maybe the army of the dead at Pelennor Fields, because I feel like those rob the men of their victory and sort of their accomplishments.
Yeah, good one. How about you, Brett? What's your positive and negative addition?
I guess the positive would be they gave me a vision of what a Balrog could be, and I didn't really have that in my head. Like, definitely not what they had there. And just visually, that was pretty amazing to me. And the negative would be the whole Eye of Sauron thing, which is just like a big tower with an eye on it staring out, like fucking lighthouse.
The house?
You did it.
Not like that. I don't know.
Mm, okay.
They could have just... I don't know what they would do, but that seemed really weak to me.
That's fair.
I'm not scared of an eye.
How about you, Paul?
I would probably say what I really liked that the movies gave us is kind of they didn't make Aragorn as cocky as he is in the books. Because in the books, he's always talking about how he's the rightful king. But at least in like the movies, they make him seem as the man who does not want power is the most deserving to receive power so that it won't really corrupt him too much.
See, I thought in the books he was much more vacillating. Like, he didn't know what he was about.
No, he's much more commanding. He knows what he wants. He's...
No, I mean, after this breaking of the fellowship, he's all in his own head. He's like, everything I do is wrong, and like, who would have me lead them? I think he's much more.
Yeah, but the movies do imply that he's not ready to take on the kingship of Gondor, whereas in the books he's very sure, like that's where he's headed. And he always starts out with the sword, right? Whereas in the movies they come in very late.
That part of the movies as well. Like earlier I said about the relationship between Aragorn and Boromir, and there's that line of dialogue, like, all your life you've hidden in the shadows, afraid of what you are, of who you are. And like, that makes for a very satisfying arc for Aragorn when he's sort of very reluctant and afraid of himself. And then when he finally just accepts the sword and becomes king, I think that's a better arc in the movies than it is in the books.
Yeah.
Man, the books, he's ballsy enough to even like pick up the Palantir and stare right at Sauron.
But I love that bit and he does that in the film too. There's a point.
He does that in the film, yeah.
He picks up the Palantir in the film?
Yeah. Well, in the extended edition.
Yeah, does that.
As a means of tempting him.
Oh, you mean when he just picks it up and throws it on the ground again?
No, in the extended edition, he like confronts Sauron through the Palantir to draw him towards the Black Gate.
He calls him out to the field.
Why do I have no memory of this?
Well, you should watch him again. They're fantastic.
Long have you hunted me. Long have I eluded you.
Oh,
no more.
Such words.
Oh, yeah, I think I do remember that now. Doesn't he show him the hilt of the sword too or something? There's my brain working again.
And then what I
Paul,
don't,
what's your most irritating thing?
It's a tie between the Army of the Dead being the one to charge the field with Aragorn, like Nick Shelfer said, like it's because first off, you don't get to see the cool Lords of Gondor with Aragorn. You don't get to see Angbor the Fearless. And like you miss out on that. And then the other one I would say is the absence of the Grey Company of the Rangers who come south to help Aragorn.
The Dunedain.
Dunedain.
Yeah.
His kinsmen. And like, I would have loved to see like more Rangers because like the only Ranger
They're
of the
awesome.
North we meet is Aragorn.
Yeah, last of his line.
Yeah. So it's like the line of kings is ending with him. It kind of feels like, I think, because that's he's like the last person alive in the North who's like a ranger.
How about you, Matt? What's your best and worst edition?
Oh, God. I think the best is just kind of giving the landscape and the Shire and all these big, like, you know, set pieces are really
cool. The visuals.
Yeah. I would say that I agree with Paul that not seeing all the Lords of Gondor, not seeing Prince Amroth, and like it's really just Rohan and Gondor, and those are the only two people that are fighting against Sauron. But I think a bigger offense was that Faramir took Frodo and Sam and was going to deliver them to his father.
That is the correct answer. Well done. Thank you for playing.
Yep. Yeah, that's really against his. That's what made him such a great character in the books is, and he wasn't tempted by the ring, and he lets Frodo go to do his, you know, to whatever fate Frodo has, and I think that's the movie really fucked him over there.
How about you, Nadia?
Least favorite would be the Helm's Deep. And favorite? I don't know if this is my favorite, but I think I actually like that they let Arwen take over, like, Glorfindel's role, because that would have just have been adding another character.
Otherwise, she has nothing to do. I appreciate it.
At least she's a character who's going to come back at the end. Like, she's always going to, you know, come back as Gondor's queen, and if they let her, you know...
Yeah, I think that was elegantly
get this,
done.
Yeah, I think letting her take the spotlight for like And I mean, what was the point of adding Glorfindel in there anyway? Like, he's only there for like a couple of scenes, right? Even in
he
the
book. He killed a Balrog and came back from the dead.
But that was in the Silmarillion. So yes, if it was the Silmarillion and you cut Glorfindel out, that would be terrible. But in Lord of the Rings, it's fine. If you instead give that role to a character who's going to come back at the end anyway.
Well, it's not like he came back from the dead. Lay sent him back, so. I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's semantics at that point. He was dead, he came back.
Because it's like the story shows you this hugely powerful character, and it's just like light is streaming from him, and he's like so wonderful and powerful, but then he doesn't help the heroes at all, so...
Exactly, so why wouldn't he be a part of the...
I wouldn't say he doesn't help him at all, but...
Well, he just chills out in Rivendell.
He just carries Frodo back to Rivendell, that's
well,
what
Elrond
he does, right?
Wants to send him, but then Merry and Pippin are like, no, we're doing it.
So what, they had like a limit of 9, like they couldn't send any more people? What was wrong with
well,
that?
Also,
what
it
was
has
wrong
to
with
be
sending
like,
one more person?
It's a secret mission, and like, when like, Frodo has the like ring on and can see like the shadows and everything. Like he can like Glorfindel is like shining so fucking bright because he's like seen the trees of Valinor and stuff. And so like imagine going into Mordor and every like wraith and like the Dark Lord just sees this massive like bonfire just walking into his stronghold. It's like oh, that's they're probably over there.
Brilliant. Well, the correct answer is. In case you're all wondering. I mean, I think that for me, what is the best addition is just visualizing it. So for me, it's Minas Tirith and also the Argonauts when they go by on the little boats and they pass by that. I feel it gives me chills every time I see it. This majesty, this like beautiful ancient world. And the negative, I don't know, there's quite a few, but I think what they did to Faramir's character was pretty heathen, but I don't like the pirates either, because I think it's everything that Shellfish said. You want, this is the battle where men have to stand up for themselves and to prove their mettle and to create a new world and a new age, and
well,
they
were men,
you know, dead men.
Well, they are
ghosts basically.
Maybe it would have been better if they had just looked like 50 pirates and not like this massive CGI luminous green.
And maybe if they had been a little less cartoony, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of it's to do with the CGI. It's a bit like that. Which was the version of The Incredible Hulk that had really bad CGI and it was like the bouncing?
All of them?
All of them.
All of them, yeah.
You have to remember, too, like, yeah, when this was made, like, the late 90s, like, for what they did with CGI was actually... You know, pretty incredible, but
I'm surprised none of you mentioned Tom Bombadil or the Scouring of the Shire, though, because those are two that get
the Tom Bombadil thing makes some sense to me. It would have slowed down the process
for a movie. I get it.
Well, being
the movie, I also understand why they removed the Scouring of the Shire.
They already had 5 endings,
exactly. That they already had like the big climax where you know they went to the Black Gate, but. You know, and just adding another one would have been too
That's
much.
Because they really needed a fourth film.
And they already killed Saruman.
But when you read the book, it's amazing because, you know, you get back to, you know, the ring being destroyed and there's a whole nother whatever it is.
A quarter of the book left.
Yeah. So I actually think that, and that's where you get the criticism of many endings. I think there should have been a fourth film.
Well, just an endings film?
We saw what he did with turning The Hobbit from 2 into 3, and I think maybe at the time Jackson might have been able to curtail that, but I think some of his best work in the Lord of the Rings films was expanding characters like Boromir, like Aragorn. But if you'd given him too much space to do that, like, we could have, you know, gotten more of, like, a Hobbit-type disaster.
You got a view of the Scouring the Shire in the well.
Yeah.
The Mirror of Galadriel.
Yeah, you don't get to see, like, the whole thing isn't just the Scouring of the Shire, but it's, like, the rousing of the Shire. It's getting the Hobbits to actually stand up for themselves and actually, like,
put like
things
the
to rights. Right. It's like... Yeah. I want to see the Tooks go all freaking like Rambo on the ruffians. Like you just find out that Pippin's dad has just been hunting any ruffians who wander on.
You're just pissed because you never saw Hobbit die.
No, I'm pissed I didn't get to see hobbits actively kill people. That's why I'm pissed.
Didn't somebody also wonder what would have happened if Merry and Pippin hadn't gone with the Fellowship if they had been returned to the Shire? Like, would Would the ruffians still have been able to take over? Would Saruman have been able to come to power if Merry and Pippin were still there?
Well, they well,
then
they
wouldn't have been the awesome hobbits that they became at the end of the movies.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't have had the stature to stand up to the men like they did when they came back. They'd experienced so much that these ruffians were nothing to them.
Yeah, I feel like.
But they still would have known about the whole. They still would have known about the bigger plan, right? That Frodo was going to Mordor to destroy the ring.
Like Elrond, you think they would have tortured it out of them? They knew. They didn't know they were. He was going. I guess they would have after the Council of Elrond.
Exactly. If they had been in the Council of Elrond and then been sent back.
Yeah, but they weren't at the Council of Elrond. Like Elrond was just hoping to send them back to like warn their people. But I don't think Elrond realized how much like hobbits don't really pay attention to those kind of things. Like Merry and Pippin coming back saying, "Hey, there's a war going on out there." I feel would kind of be
glad
the
we're back in the Shire.
Would be like the hobbit equivalent of like wearing the sandwich board that just says "the end is nigh." Yeah. Like hobbits are just like kind of waving their hands at them and like.
Yeah, I don't think Merry and Pippin were really heroes at that point yet. Like their character development comes a lot from like I suppose Boromir's sacrifice and
drinking
like,
the ant wash.
Yeah, that and like they sort of absorb and learn from the Rohirrim and the Gondorians, like they become more like the noblemen that they serve with, and that sort of allows them to be these stalwart heroes when they return.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the movies. The point of the movie was to destroy the ring, and the point of the books was the passing of an age and the like inheritance and giving the power structures to the man and hobbits, and the, you know, they can't depend on the wizards or the elves anymore. They have to take control of the realm.
Okay. Any other final things to say, or should we wrap up here?
I could talk about this all day, so.
So, guys, the ones you haven't been on for a while, what life events have been happening in the 7 years since I last spoke to you?
Well.
Yeah, Peter, where have you been? You disappeared from the forums for a while.
Yeah, I kind of, like, got into a stage of my life where I didn't play as many video games, so I didn't listen to as many podcasts. So I kind of dropped off, but...
He grew up.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't say that. But yeah, it's great that you set this up, Bean. I've missed you guys, and I've tried to reconnect a little bit on the forums, but that wasn't a successful foray.
And did anyone watch the Lord of the Rings reunion they did?
Yes.
I tried to, but it was so overproduced and the host was insufferable.
It was a little
so.
Bit. It was.
I watched the highlights thing, not even all of it, because I just... It's interesting, but not that interesting to me.
But it was nice to see everyone in one place.
Oh, you know who looks old? Pippin.
He looks like shit.
Well, he was the oldest.
I didn't even know who it was.
He was like 30 at this time of filming.
Bilbo died this week, right?
Oh, yeah. 2020.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was an online version of the Lord of the Rings game, and all of the players did a tribute. They all went at an appointed time in the alternate world to Bag End and just...
Yeah, Lord of the Rings Online?
Yeah, that's really cool.
I've actually been playing Lord of the Rings Online this entire time.
Nice. Is it a good game?
Yeah. I mean, it's much more like focused on the books. Like currently, my character's like looking at Dol Guldur currently. Yeah.
Is it a strategy game or?
It's an MMO. So you basically ride around all around the entire. I believe they are up to Mordor now. You can basically go almost everywhere in Middle Earth, and basically, the story behind Lord of the Rings Online is you are doing your best to kind of help the Fellowship's efforts in, like, basically keeping the secrecy behind it. Like, you find, like, a pan that Sam left behind on one of the quests, and you try to, like...
You find a pan?
Sounds exciting.
It's much more exciting because, like, the first stage is you're helping the, like, rangers deal with, like, Angmar, which is... somewhat rising again.
Is this why Shellfish is no longer playing video games?
Could be.
No, I play a lot of the Rings Online. I remember when it first came out, and it's kind of amazing how much of the world they've added to it since then, and
yeah,
apparently they're still going. Like
Minas Tirith is fucking bonkers when you visit it because it's just so massive.
Okay.
Anyway.
That's kind of tempting. Maybe I'll get into
it. It's a decent free-to-play model too, so it doesn't like bust your wallet that much.
What is great what, just for
what's the name of the game?
Lord of the Rings Online.
Oh, that's it.
Yep, that's it.
That's easy.
Okay.
I'll cover up the holes that all the hobbits dumped in to make sure no one's tracking them.
I regret giving that as my example.
If Pippin and Merry hadn't gone, would anything have been different?
Yeah, the ants wouldn't have been roused as much.
Yeah.
Eowyn might have just fucking died because Pippin's the one who distracts the Witch King by stabbing him as he's about to kill Eowyn.
That was Merry.
Merry. Pippin wouldn't have been there to stop, or to go get Gandalf to stop Denethor from burning Faramir alive.
Didn't him picking up the Palantir...
Yeah, and...
like, draw the Dark Lord's eye toward them?
Yeah, and
right,
because
he thought Saruman
fucking
was
around
holding
with the Palantir.
Him.
Yeah, he's like, it's not for you, it's for me!
Very good. Okay. Well, have a lovely weekend, guys. Hope to watch Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring with you all soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for the call.
Hosting,
see you around.
Bye.
See you, everybody.
Bye.